please have your seats and say good morning to someone as you're sitting down. So good morning, family. My name is Emeka Ibekwe, and I serve as one of the co-leaders of the Sugarland Home Group. Anyone for Sugarland? All right. Feeling the love. I also serve on the setup team as well as the worship team. There we go. I truly count it as an honor to be up here this morning speaking with you all. And just to let you know, when our pastors Dio and Dupe come to you with an opportunity, it's true. Get ready. But I am grateful for the opportunity and the gentle nudging. I'd also like to just take this time to also thank my parents who are listening live right now from Baker, Louisiana. It's funny, so I told my mom that I'd be ministering today, and her response was a thunderous, "Praise the Lord." And then she told me she'd been praying for 20 years for this day, so that was news to me. But thank you for your prayers. I also thank my siblings for their support. And last but not least, thank you to my wonderful wife, Stephanie, who's always in my corner. I love you. So for the last few weeks, we've been covering a new series entitled The Gospel on the Move. We've been really looking to the book of Acts and seeing the different instances where the gospel was being resisted or opposed, yet somehow the gospel continued to move forward in power. In today's passage, we see that the gospel was being opposed by jealousy. And this jealousy was from the religious leaders of the time. We can really see how jealousy is a dangerous seed, and when it takes root, it places self-interest over truth. Instead of unity, it breeds resentment and rivalry. The apostles endured and suffered the bitter fruits of jealousy. And today we'll take a look at why, or at least one of the reasons why, they held steadfast. So I've always considered myself as a planner, until I met Stephanie and she takes it to another level, but that's a conversation for another day. But yes, a planner. I see myself as someone who even goes as far as imagining certain situations before they happen, just so I'll be prepared. So we have three kids, ages 8, 6, and 4. And I imagine one day they'll come up to me with philosophical questions, and I feel like I need to have an answer for them. You know, I imagine one day one of my kids will come up to me and say, "Daddy, what's one of the most important things you've learned in life?" You know, at first glance, I thought, you know, maybe I'll give them some sort of cliche like hallelujah is the highest praise or something like that, which is true, but I'm sure that's not what they'd be looking for. So my response would be sacrifice. Life is all about sacrifice. So as we continue to advance through the book of Acts, we'll see the apostles are really getting well acquainted with the idea of sacrifice. They sacrificed their comforts, their livelihoods, and in the passage we read this morning, their freedom, and even their lives. You know, and as I thought more and more about what it really means to sacrifice, I dug into the definition. So the definition from Merriam-Webster: sacrifice, the destruction or surrender of something for the sake of something else. Destruction, surrender. Sounds pretty harsh. But that brought me to my first point. Sacrifice is uncomfortable. You know, we may think that that should be well understood, or really that should go without saying, but often we struggle with the idea of discomfort or being taken out of our comfort zones, even if it's for something or decision that we've made. There are some areas in our lives where this might be a little bit easier to digest. Do you want to get into that competitive school? Do you want that degree? Do you want to advance at your job, make partner? Sacrifice, sacrifice, sacrifice. But how about this? Do you want to reach those certain financial goals? Do you want to be in a successful relationship? Do you want a thriving marriage? Do you want to be a parent? Do you want to grow in your spiritual life? Do you want to grow in any aspect of life? Growth requires sacrifice, and growth is uncomfortable. So Stephanie and I ran the Houston Half Marathon this year. Since we're on the subject of destruction and surrender. Just kidding, it wasn't too bad. But I believe fitness is a good way to conceptualize the idea of sacrifice. Because in order to complete a half marathon, a 10K, 5K, cycling goals, weightlifting goals, whatever it may be, it takes training. And depending on your level that you're starting at, it can take months to adequately prepare. So as me and Stephanie were getting ready to train for the half marathon, we bought a treadmill. Because as you guys know, sometimes that Houston sun can be disrespectful. So we got a treadmill, and in order to keep us motivated, I searched for motivational quotes and put them on the wall in the workout room. And the quote that's on the wall right next to the treadmill reads, "Sacrifice what you are for what you will become." No. Sacrifice what you are for what you will become. There have been times, I promise, I went to the room just to grab something from the closet. And I look up at that quote on the wall, and I'm like, okay, all right, I guess I got to do a workout today. But this idea of setting a meaningful goal, then reminding yourself that any discomfort encountered along the way is just part of the process. That's at the heart of sacrifice. The apostles understood this. As we dive back into verse 17, the high priest and his officials, who were Sadducees, were filled with jealousy. They arrested the apostles and put them in the public jail. But an angel of the Lord came at night, opened the gates of the jail, and brought them out. Then he told them, "Go to the temple and give the people this message of life." So at daybreak, the apostles entered the temple as they were told, and immediately began teaching. So public jail at that time is not where you want to find yourself. I think we have a picture of a public jail. Not saying that there's any period of time that you want to be in a public jail, but definitely not back then. So definitely not an inviting picture. There's a hole in the ground. It could be a well. It could be something else. Maybe we shouldn't ask. But when the angel of the Lord came and broke the apostles out, I mean, they were jailed for doing something good, for doing God's work. Would you blame them if after they got broken out, if they wanted to go home and sleep on a real bed for a couple nights? Or if they wanted to go home and have a couple real meals? Or how about this, if they wanted to leave and flee, leave the Sadducees' jurisdiction where they'll never find them? But no, they entered the temple as they were told and immediately began teaching. Sacrifice. The next point is that sacrifice is unavoidable. So I've heard it said that you may get to choose your sacrifice, but you do not get to choose whether or not you will sacrifice. So looking back at that quote that's near the treadmill, that judgmental quote, you either sacrifice what you are now for what you will become. If not, then you sacrifice what you could have been for what you are now. I'll say that one more time. You either sacrifice what you are now for what you will become, or you sacrifice what you could have been for what you are now. Some of my most vivid memories of my childhood involve our family band. We led worship for our African Christian Fellowship and for a church in the hometown. Yes, and so you guys bear with me with this picture. This is a screenshot from a home video, a VHS home video. And I know that there's a significant portion of you all who don't know what a VHS is, but it came before DVDs. But so this is us here, family band practice. My dad's in the middle on the guitar. My mother's at the bottom left of the screen. She's playing bass guitar, actually. My brother's in the back playing keyboard. And this young lady on the violin, you all may recognize her. This is my sister, Aluchi, who serves here in King City. I'm not going to embarrass her, but she's here. And that young man on the drums, that's me. I remember the weekly practices. I remember loading the car with equipment. I remember the setup, the breakdown, week after week after week after week for years. I remember it being exhausting. But I also remember it was never just music. It was about prayer, reviewing scripture. It was about worship. My parents were willing to sacrifice temporary comforts for service in the kingdom. Now some of my favorite memories also involve family band practice. So this next picture, so this is us. Our family band practice there. It's worship. Sometimes it's musical too. It's mostly a joyful noise, but it is worship. But I do wonder if my parents never chose to labor for all those years, maybe the Ibekwe Band Sugarland chapter never exists. And not to even mention generations in the future. Sacrifice is unavoidable. So now the question evolves from if we should sacrifice to how do we make the right sacrifice? How do we make the right sacrifice? Couple things to remember. Remember obedience. On to verse 27. Then they brought the apostles before the high council, where the high priest confronted them. "We gave you strict orders never again to teach in this man's name," he said. "Instead, you have filled all Jerusalem with your teaching about him, and you want to make us responsible for his death." But Peter and the apostles replied, "We must obey God rather than any human authority." In the face of suffering, despite the opposition from the religious leaders who were full of jealousy, they remained obedient. So most of us know the biblical concept that obedience is better than sacrifice. It comes from 1 Samuel, where God gave King Saul specific instructions, but the king did things his own way. And when the prophet Samuel confronted Saul, Saul started to defend himself. He started to say all the suffering, all the pain that he went through to obtain these things that he was going to sacrifice to the Lord. And this was Samuel's response. So 1 Samuel 15:22. But Samuel replied, "What is more pleasing to the Lord, your burnt offerings and sacrifices, or your obedience to his voice? Listen, obedience is better than sacrifice, and submission is better than offering the fat of rams." So yes, we've established that sacrifice is uncomfortable, unavoidable, painful at times. But suffering in itself is not the answer. This is something I think we all need to hear. This is something I really needed to hear. Just because the road is difficult does not mean you're headed in the right direction. Hardship alone does not mean holiness. So I've heard the analogy that life is like climbing ladders, that we get so focused on the climb, that we get so focused on overcoming each rung, gritting through the pain, making it to the next level, that we completely miss the vision. And it's only till we get towards the top, or even at the top, that we look out and we see that our ladder was up against the wrong building. There was an interview with the actor-comedian Jim Carrey where he was reflecting on the emotional ups and downs of fame and success. And here's what he said. "I think everybody should get rich and famous and do everything they ever dreamed of so they can see it's not the answer." Later on in that interview, Carrey admitted he chased film hits, believing the next big success would finally bring satisfaction. But after each hit, he still felt a sense of disappointment. Yeah, it was fantastic, but what now? So what ladders have we been climbing? Climbing the ladder of approval from our peers? Climbing the ladder of advancement in our careers? Climbing the ladder of personal goals? There are many things in this life that are good, but that does not mean that that's all God wants for us. And when we put our plans first, we end up sacrificing God's plan. Hardship is not a compass. God's voice is. So sacrifice and obedience go hand in hand. In order to make the correct sacrifice, we need to be obedient. But obedience requires sacrifice. So practically speaking, obedience involves listening. And in order to listen and tune out all the noise, we need to be able to focus. And we need to be able to recognize the voice of the speaker. And in order to recognize the voice of the Lord, we need to spend time with him. Spend time in prayer. Spend time in our quiet time. Communion. Fellowship. And we need to spend time studying scripture. So even if that means waking up an hour early or skipping our favorite shows or hobbies or whatever it may be, or spending an evening every other week in fellowship with fellow believers, or whatever that sacrifice may be, we can only obey the Lord if we recognize his voice and his instruction. Obedience points us in the direction of the right sacrifice. How do we make the right sacrifice? Remember the ultimate sacrifice. So if you don't remember anything else from this morning, please hold on to this. Remember the ultimate sacrifice. on to verse 29. Peter and the other apostles replied, "We must obey God rather than human beings. The God of our ancestors raised Jesus from the dead, whom you killed by hanging him on a cross. God exalted him to his own right hand as Prince and Savior, that he might bring Israel to repentance and forgive their sins. We are witnesses of these things, and so is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him." The ultimate sacrifice. He who least deserved rebuke, the most innocent, suffered the greatest punishment on our behalf. And his death was not an accident. He wasn't a victim of circumstance. No. He chose the cross. He chose the painful path. He willingly laid down his life for you and for me. As we see in John 10:18, and this is Jesus speaking, "No one can take my life from me. I sacrifice it voluntarily. For I have authority to lay it down when I want to, and also to take it up again. For this is what my Father has commanded." Why? For our salvation. In Isaiah 53, verse 5, it says this, "But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him, and by his wounds we are healed." That's what makes it the ultimate sacrifice. It wasn't just a death. It was so, so much more. It was the holiest sacrifice. His righteousness for our sin, his punishment for our peace, and his suffering so we could be free. So when we remember the ultimate sacrifice, we're remembering that at the center of our faith is a Savior who gave everything. Not because we earned it, but because he loves us. And that type of love demands a response. It calls us to worship. It calls us to surrender, to sacrifice whatever stands in the way of us fulfilling his purpose in our lives. It calls us to live not for ourselves, but for the one who died and rose again for us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for salvation. Thank you so much for your gift that you've given us and you continue to give us. Lord Jesus, I pray that you continue to give us direction, continue to give us the strength, continue to give us the courage to sacrifice whatever it may be that's holding us back from fulfilling your will for our lives. Lord, may we understand that every day we need to submit to you, and we need to desire to establish what your will is for our lives and seek that more than any other thing in our lives. Lord, we pray all these things in the wonderful and powerful name of Lord, we pray all these things in the wonderful and powerful name of Jesus. Amen.
Come on, church, let's do a better job of that. Let's go ahead and celebrate Dr. Mecca.